We're considering this evening the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And our text is from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. This is the fifth commandment. There are a few things that we must say about it, for it is first in some ways, in particular three ways. Firstly, we must remember that this fifth commandment is part of the Ten Commandments, which is really the first set of legislature of God that was spoken to God's people in its entirety. We read just now that the people heard the voice of the Lord, and then they told Moses to speak unto them and let not God speak to them lest they die. So this is the first time in the history of mankind when God spoke to the entire congregation of God's people after the fall and taught them how they are to live before his face. So the Ten Commandments is very important. It is spoken by the Lord, inscribed with his fingers twice, kept in the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark itself is kept in the Holy of Holies, in the Holy Tabernacle of God. So the fifth commandment, being in the Ten Commandments, is an important commandment. Secondly, we must note how the fifth commandment is actually the first of the commandments in the second table. We generally think of the Ten Commandments as having two tables. The first table, the first four commandments. And the next table, the next six commandments. The first table teaches us that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second table teaches us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the fifth commandment begins that second table. No doubt the Lord has placed the fifth commandment there because he regarded it as very, very important. If you look at commandment 6 downwards, you see how there is an order in the commandments. It is more serious to break the sixth commandment than to break the seventh commandment. It is more serious to break the seventh commandment than to break the eighth commandment. Murder is more serious than adultery, than stealing, and so on. And yet, the fifth commandment is placed before that. Why? No doubt because the Lord will teach us that this is a very, very important commandment. As we'll see, if children are not taught the fifth commandment right from the beginning, they will unlikely be very serious about keeping the other commandments down their life. Okay? So this is a very important commandment. Then, thirdly, we must see that this commandment is also very important in that it's the first commandment with a promise. We'll see that in more detail later on. The second commandment has a promise attached to it, but that promise of God to bless those who love him unto a thousand generation is applicable not just to the second commandment, but to all the other commandments. But the fifth commandment, the promise is specific to obedience of the fifth commandment. Okay? So with this in mind, we want to consider the fifth commandment under 6 points. I will try to be very brief on this. 6 points. First of all, honor belongs not only to parents. Secondly, obedience is often part of honor. Thirdly, no, married persons do not need to obey their parents. And fourthly, office calls for obedience. Age calls for respect. Fifthly, under some circumstances, obedience can be wrong. And finally, rejoice in the Lord's promise of long life for all such as keep His commandment. First then, honor belongs not only to parents. The fifth commandment, of course, say, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But we realize that this commandment is not only about obeying parents, because the New Testament teaches us in particular that this commandment has a wider reach than just referring to parents. In fact, our shorter catechism, question 64, asks, what is required in the fifth commandment? And the answer given is the fifth commandment requires the preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. So, you notice that our short catechism does not even refer to parents. It refers to superiors, inferiors, and equal. And what is forbidden in the fifth commandment, question 65, and the answer is the fifth commandment forbids the neglecting of or doing anything anything against the honor and duty which belongeth unto everyone in their several places and relations. Again, no reference to parents. Why is this so? Well, it is so, as I mentioned, because the New Testament particularly shows us that is the case. The first place we want to turn to in looking at this is Romans chapter 13. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Now, if you look at Romans 13, you'll see a reference to various commandments that are listed. Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another fulfilled the law. Of course, to love one another, this really refers to the second table of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? And then it says, verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. One commandment is missing. Which commandment? Isn't it the fifth commandment is missing, isn't it? Why is it missing here? Well, the very simple reason why it's missing here is because the apostle has been talking about the fifth commandment right from the beginning of this chapter. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, what the apostle Paul is suggesting here to us is that basically the fifth commandment has to do with authority, with those who are given authority over us. And when we say, honor thy father and thy mother, it is simply an example, we may say, and the first reference to authority. The first person that we see as authoritative over us will be our parents. But this commandment is not only about submitting to parents, but submitting to all who are placed in authority over us. Right? This is why our catechism teaches us that we are to perform the duties pertaining to those who are superior to us. Now, what about inferior? Well, again, the New Testament suggests to us that we are not only to honor our parents, but we are to honor those who are put under us. And for this, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle begins, "My children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Now, of course, it's referring here to the fifth commandment, no doubt. But when you read the context of what he's saying, you realize that the apostle is speaking about relationships and not merely about father and our parents and children relationship. He begins actually the treatment of this way back in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 22, for example, he says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands." Now, the husbands have been placed in authority over the wife by God's appointment as the head of household, and wives must submit to the husband. But what does he say? Look at the verse before, verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." We suggest to us that even husbands, in some ways, are to submit to their wives. In some ways, the husbands are to honor their wife. Right? So there's an honor due to inferiors, an honor due to those who are younger. Even in case of parents, where children are taught to obey their parents, straightforward in the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. But Paul goes on expounding the same commandment in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now, what he's suggesting here then is that the fifth commandment requires that fathers perform their duties towards their children. And the law requires them to not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? And likewise for servants and masters. And of course, if we have a duty to honor those who are above us, our superiors, and a duty to honor those who are below us, then we have a duty to honor those who are equal with us. Right? And we see a reference to this. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we read that, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." Here, as he talks about submitting to the elder, then after it says, you ought to be subject one to another. That is, even to your peers. To be subject is to honor. Okay? And same thing for 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. We know that that context has to do with the fifth commandment too, because the Apostle Peter says, "Honor all men, love the neighborhood, fear God, honor the king." Honor the king, we have already seen Romans chapter 13, has to do with submitting to the civil authorities. But then he says, "Honor all men." That means those who are equal. Okay? Now, can you see how really the fifth commandment is not merely about submitting to parents? So honor does not only belong to parents, but it belongs to everyone in their several places and relation. What essentially then the scripture teaches us to do is that we are to consider where we are in society and where others are in relation to us, and we have duties towards them. Okay? We are to perform, we are to preserve the honor of our superiors, our inferiors, and our inferiors and equals, and we have duties toward them. So this is a very far-reaching commandment. You see, as God is a triune God, the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are equal in power and glory. Yet there is an honor in the Godhead. And so God has created us equal. Ontologically, there is neither male nor female. We are all equal. And yet, there is an order. God has made us societies where there are orders. In every sphere of society, there is to be order. And we are to observe that order that God has appointed for us. Over and over again, the scripture teaches us these things. That's why we are children of submit to parents, wives submit to their husbands, parents are to look after children, husbands are to love their wives, slaves, masters, and so on. All relationship in life is covered under the fifth commandment. Remember this. Honor belongs not only to parents. But now secondly, let us take note that obedience is often, not always, but often, part of honor. And for this, look again to Ephesians chapter 6, and you see how the apostle put it. Children, obey your parents. Well, to obey your parents essentially is to keep or to do that which your parents command you to do. The Word of God tells us that the instruction of parents are essentially laws in the household, and they must be obeyed. But to what extent must children obey their parents? Well, look at what Paul says in a parallel text in Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. This is what the Apostle Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, if you are to honor your parents, you are to obey your parents. And you are to obey your parents in all things, so long as they do not require you to sin against God. When you disobey your parents, you dishonor your parents. The Lord Jesus sets us an example. He is the Son of God, and yet we read how he was subject to his parents. We read that in Luke chapter 2. Of course, the occasion was when his parents broke contact with him. The parents actually violated the fifth commandment by not looking after him, left him in the temple, and there he was enjoying catechism class, extended catechism class, answering and asking questions. But later when the parents found him, and we read how he was subject unto his parents. He who is the Son of God subjected himself, no doubt obeyed his parents in all things. Learn the same, children. But again, let us also remember that this is not only in regards to children, it is also in regards to other situations like husband and wife. This is why in the vows in the conservative Protestant church, the husband vows, the wife vows submission, obedience to the husband. And where do we find that in scripture? Well, we find that in Titus, actually in Titus chapter 3. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 2, an instruction given to the older women to teach the younger women, and what are they to teach them? Verse 4, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We live in a day where it seems very strange that a wife should be obedient to the husband, but this is what the Word of God teaches us. All right? Of course, we live in a day also where husbands have a reluctance to tell the wives anything for fear that the wife may not obey. Indeed, this sometimes extends also to parents. Parents, we live in such a society where parents less and less will give instruction to the children, but make suggestion to the children rather than tell the children what they must do. But we must see from the Word of God that part of honoring our children is also to tell them when there's a need to tell them they are wrong, to tell them what they are to do, and not to be afraid, really, of being disobeyed. Of course, if you're disobeyed, your child sins not only against you, but against God. Children, take note. And this present circumstance where there's very little commands and instruction, let us learn to please those who are in authority over us by seeking to do that which we know will please. So children, what is your parents pleased with? Don't force them to give you that command. Do it this way. But if you know that this is what pleased them, part of honoring them is to do it. Okay? Obedience is often part of honor. But now, thirdly, let us remember, and related to this, no married persons need not obey their parents. Now, this may sound very strange. We are hearing it for the first time. Most of you are not hearing it for the first time, I think. But if you are hearing it for the first time, you'll sound rather strange that once you're married, you do not need to obey your parents. But I believe this is what the Scripture teaches. The institution of marriage, given in Genesis chapter 2, we have it in these words. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Why does the Scriptures talk about the men leaving father and mother? The reason why it says the men leaving rather than the woman leaving is because the Scripture will teach us that once a couple is married, they start a new family unit. They no longer come under the umbrella of the parents. They have left. They come under a new structure. So before a couple is married, a person is married, he is to submit to his parents. So the man is to obey his parents in all things, right? So long as it doesn't require him to sin. Similarly, the woman is to obey her parents. But when they are married, now the man is no longer required to obey his parents. Okay? He is now under a different structure. He is a separate covenant unit. And what about the wife? Well, the wife ceases to obey her parents, but now is placed in a position to obey her husband. So this is a pattern that we must remember. And for those of us who eventually will have our children getting married, we must bear this in mind. The Chinese culture tend to be multi-generational. Asian cultures in general is like that too, where the married couples are also required to obey their parents, and sometimes parents-in-law becomes the greatest enemy to the couple because they bring in a lot of conflict to the couples by requiring the couples to do certain things or even saying things that are contrary to what the spouse desires and so on. So many wives have bad relationship with their mother-in-laws simply because the mother-in-law gives some instruction to the daughter and require the daughter to do certain things Those of you who have been through it would understand what it is. During confinement, during some of these events, they find very, very difficult. Right? Remember this. When your children are married, do not ever give any more commandments. And if you do give commandments, know that your children do not need to obey. They are still to honor, but not necessarily to obey. To honor the parents is something that even unbelieving people do. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that if you do not honor your parents, whether you're married or not, then you're worse than infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So if you're married and you do not honor your parents in a way that is legitimate, then you're worse than an infidel. But remember that honoring and obedience do not always go hand in hand. Okay? Especially when in conflict, if your husband require you to do something and your parents require you to do something and their instruction conflict, if you were to obey your parents and disobey your husband, you sin against your husband, you sin against God. Okay? But you can disobey in a honorable way. That calls for wisdom, but it is to be understood that you do not need to obey them. Okay? Provide for their needs, encourage them, speak to them nicely, never rudely. Okay? But now, are there other circumstances where obedience is not required? Where respect and honor is required? I'll consider our fourth point. Fourth point teaches us that office in general calls for obedience, whereas age calls for respect. Again, this is taught in a number of places in the scripture. We read in Romans chapter 13 how all authority is set in place by God, and therefore we are to submit to their authority. And that includes obedience to the law that is set by the civil authority. But this is also true in regards to parents. God is the one who places in authority over the children, and therefore we have an office. As father and mothers, we have an office towards our children. So to be obeyed. Likewise, in the church, office requires obedience. The Lord Jesus himself actually mentioned something of this. Look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 2 to verse 3. Matthew 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. See, what's the Lord suggesting is that these scribes and Pharisees are in the position of office. They have their office as teachers, and therefore you are to obey them. Right? Even though you may not respect them very much, you ought to obey them. And then similarly, look at Hebrews. And Hebrews, we have the apostle to the Hebrews teaching us that we are to obey. those who have the rule of us. Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Office of elders calls for obedience. And this is something that we are to bear in mind. Again, as I mentioned, we live in a day when we tend to become very egalitarian, and we tend to think that it is not right to command anything. So parents refrain from commanding, and churches, you hardly hear of any commanding, you hear of instruction. The church telling a person to do anything. Sometimes there's a necessity to tell the person to do some things, but we tend to feel very reticent about doing it. But there is a place for it. If you are to obey your elders, then obviously the elders have a right to give command. And we must humbly receive this instruction and obey. Of course, elders must not give commands that are unreasonable and that cause the individual to sin or bring much grief to the individuals. Okay? But remember, office calls for obedience. But even when there is no office, we must understand that age puts a person who is older than us, age puts him in a superior position in some contexts. Okay? And the Word of God actually teaches us that we are to respect those who are older. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. And verse 32. This is in the law of God, the Old Testament. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Or let none of us say, well, this is a ceremonial law. Well, this obviously is an exposition of the fifth commandment. Right, to honor the face of the old man. Okay, of course, this doesn't mean that if you see someone who has a hoary head and is very young, and you must rise up. And it's not to be taken legalistically too. Every time someone who has a gray head comes in, you must stand up. But it's a principle. It talks about honoring those who are older. There's a time when age is respected. Today, a lot of people think that youth is to be respected. But Scripture tells us otherwise. Right? Scripture reminds us that we are to respect those who are elderly. Young people, if you learn anything, I hope that this will change your attitude towards those who are older. I hope that you will learn to greet those who are older than you, especially if they come in with a gray head. Right? And if you see an elderly person walking with a heavy load, do not just say, leave it to him. Go up. Go up to help. That's part of honoring. It's not just your parents. You should do that for your parents, of course. I hope you're doing that, children. Young men especially. Young ladies have a little bit more excuse. But young men, don't let your parents carry heavy stuff. Show them respect. But when the elderly members in the church too, show them respect. Okay? It's sad that today our nation is becoming more and more like the West, where there is a very little respect for the elderly. That should not be the case. And it's not just cultural. We're talking about biblical lives, biblical attitudes. Let us cultivate a biblical attitude. Show respect to those who are older. And even in the case of those whom we cannot obey because they have called us to do something that is sinful, we ought to respectfully decline, to learn to show respect. Okay, so this is the fourth thing. We have considered how honor belongs not only to parents. Obedience is often part of honor. No, married persons need not obey their parents. Office calls for obedience. Age calls for respect. But now fifthly, under some circumstances, obedience is wrong. Now, this is quite straightforward for most of us. I think we're all very familiar with the passage where the apostles refused to obey the instruction by the Sanhedrin to stop preaching. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men when they were asked to stop preaching. But do you realize that the same is applicable in the family? What does the apostle Paul say in regards to obedience to parents? He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does it mean? Well, you are to obey in the Lord. That is, if your parents require to sin against the Lord, that you do not need to obey. Your parents, for some reason, maybe out of anxiety during exam time, your parents come to you and say, hey, you better go and study. It's the Lord's day, but you go and study so that you can do well. You have the right to disobey. In fact, you sin if you obey your parents in this context. You obey the Lord before you obey your parents. The Lord Jesus himself tells us that if we love father or mother more than him, then we are not worthy of him. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. This is his word. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Scripture teaches us that we are to first obey God and then obey men. Man is in a subordinate position to God. Okay? But we are to always respect, as I mentioned, even if we cannot obey our parents. A good place to consider this is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember that Peter wrote during the time of Nerodian persecution. So the government or the civil authority were requiring the church to do things that they could not do and they could not obey without sinning against God. But yet, we see the apostle telling the readers, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In this case, you can honor even if you cannot obey under some circumstances. Okay? Under some circumstances, obedience is wrong. Okay? Well, I'd like to stretch this a little bit more. And you remember, we said right from the beginning that we are to honor not only our superiors, but also the inferiors and equal. Right? And obedience is wrong under some circumstance, but you realize that in a modern society, very often, things have turned topsy-turvy. Parents are obeying the children. And elders are obeying members of the church. What do I mean by that? Market-sensitive church. If the church wants it this way, we'll do it this way. Well, that is basically obeying the survey in the church. Or when the parents simply cave in and do exactly what the child wants to be done, parents is obeying the child, contrary to the word of God. Okay, under that circumstance, wrong. Okay. But now finally, now time is running, rejoice in the Lord's promise of long life. the question 66 of our shorter catechism asks, what is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? And the answer, the reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as I serve for the glory of God and a good of all such as keep these commandments. So what does it teach us? It teaches us basically that the commandment has a promise that if we keep this commandment, we will have long life. But long life only if it serves for the glory of God and for our own good. So for example, there are many who no doubt were obedient in their life who did not have very long life because the purpose of their life is served. We think of Calvin, for example. He lived up to 55. Machen, John Gresham Machen, up to 56. Jonathan Edwards, up to 55. Robert Murray Machine, 30. Or the best example of all, the most obedient man who ever lived, Lord Jesus Christ, 33. Your life served for the glory of God. And they live up to the point where living another day would not be for their good. Okay? So in God's plan, those who are obedient to the Lord will be given a long life as far as shall serve the glory of God, or God's glory, and their own good. All right? This is not an empty promise. I believe that the Lord does give long life, where your long life is meaningful, good, glorifying to God. Okay? But the converse, without a promise, we can think of the possibility of a long life full of misery. That is contrary to the promise, isn't it? Live a life without regard to the fifth commandment, and even nature will tell you that your life will be miserable. If you do not know how to do your duty towards your superiors, your inferiors, and equal, your relationship with people will be absolutely miserable. And your life will become a big misery. Then you will plead that you will not live so long. But you know how to relate according to the fifth commandment. The Lord gives you a life of meaning and purpose. Until that day when for you to live one more second would not be for your good and for the glory of God. And then you return to glory in enjoyment of God forever and ever. Our beloved brethren, this is the fifth commandment. Honor belongs not only to parents. Obedience is often part of honor. No, married persons are not required to obey their parents. Office calls for obedience. Age calls for respect. Under some circumstances, obedience is sinful. It's not just wrong, but sinful. But rejoice in the Lord's promise of long life if you keep this commandment. And beloved, this is a very important commandment for us to take note, because we live in such a day where the fifth commandment has been much neglected. The Apostle Paul reminds us that in these last days, many shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, and are disobedient to parents. Tonight, if you are here and you have been dishonoring your parents, whether by disobeying them or being disrespectful to them, I pray that you will have repentance, occasion to think about it and to repent of your sin, to turn unto the Lord Jesus for cleansing and forgiveness. Tonight, You should also know that if you are not a believer, you will not be able to keep the fifth commandment. The only solution for you is to turn to the Lord Jesus. Only in him will you have forgiveness. Only in him shall you be given the ability to begin to keep this very important commandment that carries a promise of long life as far as you shall serve for God's glory and your own good. May the Lord help us. May the Lord grant us that we may be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience and submission. Amen.